you've been coming for a while. You may remember a couple years back, we came and kind of sounded a level of concern on some actions by U.S. Fish and Wildlife, endangered species. I'm going to jump through a few things just to... Back in 2011, they settled a lawsuit with some federal endangered species interested type organization. And in that plan, they basically agreed to process almost all the species at the time that were sitting on the candidate list by 2016, which is a whole lot of work in a very short period of time. So I'm going to give a status on where they're at with that, just a little bit of background for those of you who aren't familiar. Nationwide, 12,000 animals, 752 plants, and 249 candidate species. Yeah. In Texas, we have 65 animals and 28 plants currently listed as threatened or endangered, and 21 are sitting on the candidate list. Overall, the factors of what gets you to an endangered listing is your habitat significantly threatened. Are things like when we overhunted alligators, are you being overused for different things? Disease predation. Are current regulations inadequate for protecting that species? And are there other man-made factors that may be impacting the species? That's kind of the rough criteria they go through for their listings. Key definitions: endangered means you're in serious shape, you're on the peril of being extinct. Threatened, it's kind of a going downhill, but not quite to that endangered level yet, but if we start to give you some protection, you might can recover. The candidate species, basically, we think you meet the endangered or the threatened criteria, but right now there's too many species that are worse off than you are, so you're gonna hang out there on the candidate list for a little bit. And that's what the lawsuit was over with some of the environmental earth guardians and some of the environmental endangered species type watch groups thought that U.S. Fish and Wildlife was parking too many things on that candidate list and letting them sit there too long. Protections, if you have a species that's declared endangered, it is entitled to the full protection under the Endangered Species Act. A threatened species, entitled to some of those, but which ones apply to that individual species is up to Park or Fish and Wildlife's discretion. Some of the good things about the threatened listing is if they can get to something and start protecting it early, hopefully they can avoid it going up to endangered. And if an endangered species recovers, they can scale back a little bit on some of the protections, drop it down to threatened if they feel it's warranted. And for a candidate species, you're hanging out, everyone recommend or notices that you are in some sort of distress, but you don't really get any protection. They did just about a month ago publish their work plan. It is how they are going to work through the 250 species that they agreed to process. And that's 250 across the country. That's not just Texas. And that is available on their webpage. But I've kind of summed up what affects the browsers for you here. Right now, overall statewide, that number of different critters in review, and if all become listed, that's going to represent about a 46% increase for the state of Texas in endangered species listed.
Which bird is it? Is it the eagle?
No, it's the prairie chicken.
It's the prairie chicken.
Oh, down south. Okay.
Nope,
yeah.
This one's up in the Lubbock area.
Oh.
That they're working through right now. There is one down south too, yeah. But he's already made it through the process. So now they're working on the lesser prairie chicken. He's proposed threat.
I did a college report on that. I want prairie chickens. He's my, they're my babies.
They're going to designate critical habitat for that species sometime this year and hope to have the final listing by FY 2013, which for the federal government is in October timeframe, by the end of September, I believe, that they should have both critical habitat put out. All these require public comment, so these are pretty aggressive schedules for them, and then have their final determination of critical habitat by 2014. For water resources purposes, prairie chicken's not gonna have much of an impact on us, because they're in the prairie species. We have two shiners in the upper basin, the small-nose and small-eye shiner, or the small-eye and sharp-nose shiner. Their listing status, they're going to, Fish and Wildlife is going to propose both the listing status and critical habitat at the same time, we've been told. That should be coming out sometime this year. I would be floored if they are not listed as endangered. They meet all the requirements. And then go through the final critical habitat and final listing will be sometime in 2014. I don't know what exactly the critical habitat will be for these guys. I know probably the area they're going to be looking at is above Possum Kingdom, Salt Fork of the Brazos, the Double Mountain Fork of the Brazos, and then Upper Brazos Lake for sure, I would be certain are in there. There hasn't been a whole lot of discovery or findings of the fish in the Clear Fork, so Clear Fork, I don't know if it'll be impacted or not. They do require, fortunately for these species, we have a lot of good information on them. There's a professor out of Texas Tech who's spent his life and several of his grad students' lives studying these guys. So we do have some good information to know what they really need. A lot of times you kind of act in blind as far as what's going to protect the fish. So I could anticipate seeing some minimum flow requirements for the river at certain times of the year. I know Fish and Wildlife is looking at salt cedar influence on water flows up there significantly, and encroachment into the river channels. So what that exactly is going to end up meaning to municipalities in that area, agriculture, we don't know yet until we see what critical habitat, but I would suspect it has some sort of flow component and probably something to encourage removal or relocation of salt. For Texas salamanders, this one is in the process as we speak. It's highly contentious. If you've been involved, three of the four occur in our basin, the Georgetown, Salado, and Jollyville Plateau salamanders. U.S. Fish and Wildlife proposed critical habitat and that the species all be listed as endangered last fall time frame. They put out some revisions for public comment in February-ish. The critical period, or the comment period, was complete in May. The final listing of critical habitat should be out before the end of the year. This one has some significant potential to impact its Williamson and Bell County areas. We just have to see what finally gets adopted. There's because they are do live in springs, they are highly dependent on both groundwater and surface water. Quality is very important to them, plus an entire variety of activities from road construction, cattle grazing, everything else was listed in the endangered species listing as being a threat. So what this is actually going to mean for the people of the city I've got right now, for the Jollyville Plateau, which is Round Rock Cedar Park area, all the little orange dots are where they have designated critical habitat. Within those circles, I would expect development activities, any sort of agricultural activities to probably be strongly impacted by this act, especially if they're taking federal money in any way. The thing that concerns me, or that is unanswered, and we have addressed and asked the question to Fish and Wildlife but have not gotten a clear answer, is a lot of their supporting documentation talks about activities outside these circles, out in the watershed, that can impact what's happening in the watershed and be a potential threat. So the level to which they are intending to enforce on activities to protect these species is still somewhat up in the air, which could have huge ramifications for the cities and counties. Georgetown, you can see they've got a whole lot of little dots in a highly developed area already. And then Salado, Bell Creek, the Salado, this series of dots goes right through the I-35 expansion that's going on right now. So textbook needs to finish by October. And then these up here, they are on a cattle ranch, and that rancher is actually working pretty intently with Fish and Wildlife to negotiate some conservation agreements that will allow them to continue cattle ranching without having an impact on those critical habitat units. But that one seems to be the hot button topic right now in the Bell County and Williamson County areas. We have five Central Texas mussels that were posted for candidate species review. They've been on the candidate list for a while. But due to the lawsuit, Fish and Wildlife, it says they are not going to take any action on these mussels until after fiscal year 2016, because they're now obligated through that work plan to work on the other 250 species. But I would expect this one, come 2017, it's going to pop up. We have two that are known to be currently living in our basin, smooth pimpleback and the Texas fawn's foot. The fawn's foot is up in the Clear Fork area. We have found it. Smooth pimpleback seems to be fairly abundant in our basin. After this came up, we sent one of our field guys. He got some real specialized training, and we discovered, at least for us, it may be a fact that no one went looking. Once he went and we knew what to look for, how to do it, and how to sample them, we have found quite a few populations that weren't previously known. So that is a good thing for us, but this will probably have some water usage impacts too, because they are water dependent. Drying out of the beds is certainly not good for them, but also high flow events can also cause them stress because it'll silt in their beds, other things like that. So what will actually be done with this, this is one of those cases where we don't know a whole lot of information about what they actually need. Unlike the shiners, where we've had a lot of intensive research, these guys are kind of an enigma until we get some of that more information. It's going to be tough to know what's going to happen or anticipate what the Fish and Wildlife Service will do. And if you want more information, there's three websites, two are Fish and Wildlife Service websites, and then one is a website put together by the state of Texas.
You know, some of the biological extreme flow stuff we've done already, have we come across any live mussel beds?
We have, but you're putting me on the spot, and I didn't ask Justin where they were. I know we found some below Whitney, in the river below Whitney.
Did you say near our reach, but not quite?
Yeah, it wasn't right in the area where we were doing our sampling, but he went wandering off on a break and wandered down the river and found a mussel bed. They found some on Aquila Creek that he said were very recently dead. So he thinks there may be, they do move around, so may have been some of the stragglers that if we walk the entirety of Aquila Creek, he'd probably find the active bed. And they found several down in the lower basin. Richmond, Rocher, through the TIFP work too, they found some down in that area.
Do the studies assess ecological impact for loss of species as opposed to classification of endangered, candidate, threatened, and so forth? I would like to read the projected impact.
Not that I've seen as far as what does not having that critter out there due to the environment. I have not really seen that level of study. It's more what's impacting him, what I've seen. What are potential threats? How do we mitigate those threats? I know that's one of the rallying cries of some of the folks against the salamanders. Well, who the heck cares what happens, you know? And I haven't, you know, Fish and Wildlife, to some degree, I don't know if they promote themselves well enough by doing that very thing. They just kind of say, well, it's bad, it's canary in the coal mine, and if you're damaging them, you're damaging other things too.
Are they tying that into water quality assessment and use attainability and such?
Now that, for yes, going forward and what to do to protect it, I believe so. They're also tying it and looking at groundwater pumpage, you know, not letting aquifer levels fall below a certain point, that sort of thing. More of what I've seen them focus on, which I understand because it's a practical matter, is the economics. Is protecting the species going to be an economic hardship to the community? And so far from the salamanders, they've determined it's not going to be, but I know the folks at Williamson and Bell County are saying their assessment is bunk. So who's right? The truth is probably somewhere in between on the economics. I'm certainly not an economic or development genius, so.